It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studios this morning. Dick Newman with the day off. And we're going to talk high school sports, as we always do, with some coaches from Lacapral Valley, Dawson Boyd. And we're going to change things up a little bit this morning. John Sherb is going to go first, the Lacapral Valley Dawson Boyd cross country coach, because he has practice at 9:30, right, John?
Yes, we do.
All right. So, well, thanks for sitting in the seat first, then.
Glad you let me in there. I'm glad Tony let me jump in front of him.
Yeah. Tony's here. He's waiting. So, hey, boy, Section Cross Country hosted the meet this week, and it went over well, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it went over well. It's my assistant coach, Jason Conover, goes to me, you spend 5 days of putting the course together for 1 hour of racing. He goes, is that very efficient? And I said, probably not, but, you know, we're trying to make it right and do what we can for the kids. You know, I'm very happy that Madison Golf Course allows us to use it to set it up. And, I mean, you were able to put our lines in, everything else, and put, you know, if you were out there, there was a lot of people out there and trying to make the turns efficient. You know, I always look at trying to hit turns where it's no 90-degree turns, make it all rolling so the kids are able to stay fast, stay aggressive, so you don't get cut. And I thought we really did a good job of setting it up. And, you know, and I think we had a very good workforce to help us do it. I mean, you know.
A lot of people helped out.
You know, Zach being new with it, I think everything else wasn't sure how to handle it. And Tony helped him a lot, you know, from doing the years past. So I think really everybody kind of worked really well together to get it set. Ron Kester, he came out there, his golf cart. We were there many late nights until you couldn't hardly see. I had to send him home fast enough before the golf cart to get back with his dark. And so we stayed there a lot of times until late just to make sure things were set. And you know, Jason and I just basically did a lot of stuff with that. So I thought it went really, very well. I thought it was very efficient. The weather wasn't the greatest when the day started out. You know, we painted the line down on Wednesday. The half of the line was gone by Thursday afternoon because that rain we got there washed it. The paint was supposed to sit. It said it was supposed to be good in 7 hours, and it had 7 hours to sit. And it you could see it. It just wasn't as bright as I'd like to have it.
This is for the runners to follow.
Okay, that's just a guideline for them to follow. And so we got that all done, and that wiped off. So, you know, but you could still see, you know, smidgens of it. We also changed our start a little bit, too, from 2 years ago. Last year was our first year trying it, and we tweaked it again a little bit, some other things, what some of the coaches asked from the September meet of if we can move a couple of spots. And those couple of spots we moved, I think, helped a lot just to kind of get out of the mud, whatever it was, some water stand. So I thought that worked very well. So I thought the course really rolled well, and I thought you really saw some really good competition there.
That's right. And, the weather could have been a little better, but it could have been a lot worse, too.
Yes, it could have been. And when Kaiser Friedley was around, we had that gale force winds, northwest wind, 50 miles an hour, and it was a mess. But
I saw some pictures from up north by Holly. They're running in snow yesterday, it looked like. So.
Well, it looked like they can have it. They want to take the rest of the snow. They can keep that until January, for all I care.
All right. Yeah, good meet. A lot of people in town on Thursday in Madison, and let's talk about the results.
Yeah,
how'd you guys do?
Well, we did well. You know, going in, there's a lot of things you can go in your preseason rankings and things like that you've seen out the year. It still comes down to health. That's the biggest thing. For example, if you look at boys, it should have been, you know, it should have been Redwood, Laverne, pretty much 1-2, and then with Windham in the shadows. Well, the kid that won the section meet last year from Laverne has been nicked up all second half of the year. He finished right behind Gavin, and he's the defending section champion. Mm-hmm. And when you come down to team scoring, that's very big. As close as especially was between Redwood and Laverne, that really threw a loop into there. So you get some injuries. That affects a lot. So it's the rankings can mean all you want. It's not going to matter until you come to here in October. That's when the rankings
start.
You got to run it, prove where you're at.
Yep.
And so led off with the boys at 4:00. You know, going in, like I said, I thought it was, you know, Laverne, Redwood as the boys' teams. Windham has been running well all year, And, you know, I thought they were in the hunt. I just didn't know where they're at with everybody. Just, you knew what Laverne was returning. And then Gavin was kind of our – we were kind of thinking Gavin could, you know, he's got to run well. He was right on that last spot on a seeding. Again, we're seeding things. Again, your preseason ranking coming in, he was right on that last spot to qualify because your top six individuals qualify who are not on a team. So, give or take, off a little bit here or there, you're not in or not out. Last year, you missed it by two spots. So, it's that whole thing of how can you handle that. So, you know, our boys, I was hoping that we could get, you know, top five. That was kind of my big time goal if we could get it. I just didn't know if we had enough depth and we had to run well to get there. So that was kind of our next goal in that and see where we're at. But Gavin really, really ran a great race, smart race. He's learning as he goes, and there's so much things in the running field of how to a tactical races get caught. But that's probably the sharpest I've seen him look mentally with his eyes and everything else, because eyes don't lie. When you look at a kid's eyes, you can tell if they're ready to compete or if they're not ready to compete. I've seen kids, you look into them, it's like looking into a hollow hole. Not going to go very well. I look at some kids, they are sharp as a tack, and you know it's going to be a good day for them.
Ready to get after
it. Yeah, and he was. And he put himself in the spot. He was in the spot the whole way. The only thing I warned him early in the race was said, remember who's not in front of you. Because he was running with kids that weren't ranked 1-2 coming into the section, and they were behind early in the race. And I said, remember, when that wall comes by, you got to be ready for that. And sure enough, he put himself in a good spot, ran really well. He ended up getting 7th overall. Great finish there, 1706.4, and that is really, really close to his PR. I think it's 2 seconds off his PR, and that was he ran in was at Milbank that Saturday morning. So okay. He ran well. So he finished 7th individually, 1706.
What grade is Gavin in?
Gavin's a junior.
A junior,
so, yep.
Okay.
So he's come a long way because he didn't start running cross until his 9th grade year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's, you know, it's a learning process. Mm-hmm. Eli Hagelin was 29th. I thought Eli really ran sharp to close out his senior career in cross country. He finished 29th, 18:15. Caden Clark put himself up on that front side early. He paid for it. But I think that's something he's got to learn to do, because especially next year he needs to go to the next level. Is he willing to? That'll be the question mark. You look at, he was 38th at 18:32. James Weber, other senior, he was 53rd at 19:15. You know, he's a quarter miler and hurdler for us in track, so it's pretty darn good. You can move him into the 800 running this 5K stuff, and looks very good. He closed it out on a very great finish. Luke Stock has really grown throughout the year for us. He was our JV runner, and he slowly slid into the system. He was 57th at 19:28. Joseph Felton, 60th at 19:36. Cade Solom was 78th at 20:21. Team scoring, Wyndham won it with 59. And like I said, if Laverne has their healthy boys in place, I think they had their number one runner would have ran number one spot. I don't think he could have beaten the kid from Redwood. He got second. That would have changed from 8 points. That would have cut 6 points off team score. Now they're back into the state meet. So that's how nip and tuck it got. But Wyndham was first. Redwood was second at 77. Laverne was third at 79. MCC was at 98. Cami Mineo at 174. We were at 180. And Jackson County at 220. And Monty was at 226. So we finished sixth. Very happy the way the kids competed. You just liked that, the what you saw from mental determination going at it. And that's what I told the kids. I said, I know you don't have a chance at a lot of things. You still compete, and that just bugs a snot on me when you don't put your best effort forward to compete, no matter what the stakes are. And I thought our boys really, really ran well on that spot and put it out on the course.
Yep, and congratulations to Gavin Carl, qualified for state next Saturday. So, and that's where you'll be next Saturday.
Yep, that's where we'll be next Saturday. Girls going in, you know, like I said, you know, if everybody's healthy, it was pretty much a two-dog race on the team. You know, Redwood, who has been just been a monster all year, and then Canby has just been, those two teams I think were pretty clear-cut. If something would have to go wrong with more than one of their runners for any one of those two not to go to state, that's how tough they are, and that's how I felt. And it showed. Chloe, again, another one that looked very, very sharp. She was in the phase of the game early. She got herself in. She ran with the three Canby girls who pretty much took it to her at the conference meet. She sat right in and ran with them, and that looked very comfortable and didn't put herself in any tough spots at all. And then the gal from Laverne who is wow. She is tough. She's going to finish top five in state, maybe win the state. I don't know who's out. I know they graduated a lot of the girls on that top side, but she is a machine, looks very, very solid, and looked comfortable out in that run. But after that, it was a dog. Chloe was in the pack of second place. It was 2, 3, 4 were all in together. And so you got to like the way she put herself in. And, you know, because I think it was early. She was probably sitting about fifth with about five, six girls all on the wall. They're working. And then I said, things started falling off. The girls started falling back. And she stayed right into that pack and went with the girls. And next thing you know, the girl, Laverne, is out in front. Now there's three girls fighting for the next three spots right there and then. And that's what you love to see. And they pulled. Chloe separated with those three. They separated the next girl for fourth. They made some distance on that and broke it open. And just a great finish from her. And that's, and we always talk about numbers game. She broke 20 minutes. And that's kind of a barrier look as your next barrier is a break, because she's been 20.02 and she finally broke 20. And that's a big key for her. She got fourth overall, 19.50. Was in the thick of things all the way through. I think the third place was a second and a half in front of her. I think second place was like 5 seconds in front of her. So that's how big of a wall came down with second, third, and fourth. And she was kicking with them, and she doesn't like kicking that much, but she got in there and went with them, which is good to see. Her sister, Bryn Glegge, just, you never know. You got a young seventh grader. You never know what's going to happen with her.
She's only a seventh grader.
Wow. And she jumped into there, and she was, mostly halfway through the race, she was right at sixth place to qualify for the state meet. She put herself in a spot. She paid for it in the end, but you like that when you put yourself in a situation to have a chance instead of, I'll just kind of go where I'm at. She finished 18th. 21-18. She was two spots off from qualifying for state. That's a good. I think the last girl got into state on the individual was 20-50. I think it was 20-50 or something like that. So that's, you know, that's 28 seconds. You know, that's not that. Excuse me. That's 20 seconds out. So that's not that far out.
No.
Then Brooklyn Steroid, 29th at 22-10. Tegan Conroy had really finally put one together. She really looked solid through it. And she was 35th at 22:30. Taylor Wood was 40th at 22:44. Daytona Bissett ran her. I think that's her personal best she ran. She was 61st at 23:30. Harper Grunwald was 70th at 23:40. This is by far our best pack we put together, and we are young. And that's the thing, is if we can build off this, it's so important to build, and we've got a bright future if we want to go there. Scoring-wise, Redwood Valley won it with 36, which is a tough score to get 36, and that's how tough they are. Canby was second with 64. MCC was next at 113. Laverne was at 131. We were in fifth at 132, 1 point behind Laverne. So very, very pleased with that. Jackson County was next at 177 and Pipestone at 229. And if you remember the meet we ran here in September, we were dead last on team score. I think we were 15th. But we finally put together our girls, and we brought up some girls that didn't run there either. They ran junior high or JV, and it showed where we've grown. And that's everybody gets all bent out of shape. It's how you run early. I look at how you run at the end of the season, because there's a girl from Wyndham, I think, was ranked second in the section, and she would have probably finished top 10. Leg injury midway through the season, stress fracture, done. You know, that's the thing, you got to be very, very careful. And that's you want to finish better. You know, you want to do well early, but you really want to finish strong. And I really like the way the kids finished and went after it.
Good. So congratulations to Chloe Glegge, representing La Caprell Valley Dawson Boyd next week at the state tournament. And also to Allison Pesek and the Cami Mineota girls, section runners-up, and we'll be down at the state tournament covering all that. So. Canby ran well. I was talking to some of the girls. A couple of them didn't feel well, so they felt they could have done a little better. But, So that's that. A lot of great. It's just a great event. I just love watching the crowd there. I mean, you know, I had the Thomas D. Bly stage there. You do the awards. Greg Wyam, the PA announcer and stuff. And I like the way that all happens and everybody's gathered around the stage.
It works well. It's good. Like I said, I thought, you know, Zach with all the workers, the golf course, Ron Kiss, I mean, everybody really did a nice job, you know, and also Therese Bly, she allows us to park the buses up at her place.
That's right.
And that saves a lot of space because, I mean, you know, we feel our parking lot's not a bad sized parking lot, but we feel that tighter and tight. And it was parked in the residential section. I know the elevator allowed us to park down by the weighing scale. Got a little tight there at times with them hauling grain and everything else, but we were able to sneak some people down there. So, I mean, it's a lot of things to go through to do this, and we're very, very fortunate to have that and to be able to put together, a very good quality section meet for the spectators and the athletes to compete in.
That's right.
So,
and I know I ran into Ed Hagelin, and, you know, he said, they're done. They, no more kids coming up in cross country. And the Hagelin family's been in cross country for how many years?
A lot of years.
It started out with Grace, right?
Yep, started out with Grace, and then we had all three kids. And so it's, you kind of like that family thing of being able. The only thing I always tell them, like I told them, and the Swensons said, "Why'd you stop at three, four kids? You should have about seven or eight. Then we really could be okay for a little job security here." And I guess I'll laugh at it, but it is what it is. So
yeah, once you have a family like that in cross country, you know, you can span 10, 15 years.
Yep, the steroids are the next one. It's in the long boat because, again, they've got Peyton and also Jordan now with Brooklyn to be an eighth grader, so they got a string away.
You got a string too. Anybody else that you can think of?
I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to miss it. We've had a lot of families been through the program. You know, it's been good.
Swenson's, that was a while ago, but that was a while ago.
So we've got that. We've been lucky with that. They will run now Saturday. The meet will be at, it's different now. See, this is kind of, it's going to be, I don't know. I'm optimistic. I hope it works well, but I don't like the. We're at the U of M golf course at Les Bolstad. There is no parking. There is no protective areas if the weather turns bad. So there's a lot of question marks that's going to go on because St. Olaf, basically after state meet last year, said, "No, we're done. We don't want you guys back. We need a break." And it's
that kind of surprised me.
I know they're busy. They got a lot of things going down, but I wish they would have given the state high school an extra year to say, "Hey, okay, let's start looking. Let's start figuring this baby out," instead of all of a sudden you got 10 months to figure out where you're going. Yeah. And that's a tough thing to have. But noon will start with the boys at the golf course because we've got three classes. AAA will start early in the morning. Then we'll be in the middle run at noon with Gavin running at noon. Then we'll turn around and run at 12:45. Chloe will run at 12:45. There is going to be a shuttle service. I will try to put some things out there for parents and families if they're going to come down and watch what they're going to allow and where they're letting people park. And I know there's a shuttle service they're going to run from
the state fairgrounds.
State fairgrounds, I'm going to guess that's what they're going to do.
Yep, that's what it is.
And it'll be free. It'll be a free shuttle. It's not going to cost you anything for that. They're going to make it a free shuttle.
But so it does cost to get into the tournament this year.
Yes.
$13.
Yep, they're going to try.
That's
a big change because they haven't been able to control it. Mm-hmm. Now they've got a fenced off area. They don't, you know, people can't get on the golf course. So that's been the big kind of kick on cross is we don't have a way to have an admissions.
Right.
And so you are now negative payment because you don't have any income.
Right.
And you're spending a lot of money. You know, so, I mean, your income.
Mostly all the other terms.
Yeah. So that's why, because that's, you know, again, same thing like sections. It's very, very tough to control it. I mean, you could go a Goodwill bucket, but again, you're going to get the people who will, you'll get the ones that won't, and it is what it is.
Yep.
So it would be fun. It's a good thing. I know a bunch of my former athletes are back down, you know, especially, you know, Annika and Taylor and Maya were down on Thursday.
Oh, alumni.
And they came in, it's a good seeing alumni, and they looked at me and goes, "Well, the streak has started again." You know, we had a long streak of having someone qualify for the state meet, and they go, "Well, the streak is starting over. Now we're going to run a streak again." And I said, "Well, that's our plan. We just want to take it one year at a time and go on, but it'll be fun."
All right. All right, John, thanks for coming in, and we'll see you next Saturday down in Minneapolis.
Sounds good.
All right, have a fun week of practice. All right, that's John Sherb, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley Dawson Boy Cross Country Team. Tony Smith is patiently waiting in the other room there, John.
I'll sneak out the back door.
Okay, we'll have Tony. We'll talk football right after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. They're taking venison during deer hunting. And this week, all fresh-cut pork, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
The theme, Shift Farm Safety into High Gear, is one that resonates and reminds us that it is everyone's responsibility to prioritize safety on the farm and rural roadways of America. The latest data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows the agricultural sector is still the most dangerous in America with 581 fatalities, which equals 23 deaths per 100,000 workers. As we recognize National Farm Safety and Health Week, please join Haugen Insurance Agency of Ortonville and Madison in promoting safe and healthy practices on our farms and ranches as producers enter the harvest season across the U.S. and beyond. We welcome your collaboration and participation. This message brought to you by Haugen Insurance Agency of Madison and Ortonville.
Saturday afternoon, Q92 Sports has Section 5A football playoffs. The Dawson Boyd Blackjacks travel to Olivia to take on the Bold Warriors. 3 o'clock kickoff. That's the Blackjacks and the Warriors, Section 5A football playoffs, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Come on over to Marietta for Halloween Bingo. That's tonight, 5 p.m. at the Marietta Fire Hall. $5 per card, 20 games. Costumes optional. There'll be treat bags for the kids. Win cash or prizes playing bingo. Food will be available by free will donation. This being sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Days Committee. That's Halloween Bingo, the Marietta Fire Hall, starting at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The Bellingham Harvest Celebration will be this Sunday, October 29th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. at the Bellingham Community Center. There will be cookie decorating, trick-or-treat table maze, photo booth, bring your camera, games with prizes, lunch, and a costume contest, 6:30 p.m., All families are encouraged to come. Decorate a table for the maze. Tables will be provided. Doors will be open at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. Free will donations will be taken to provide books for area youth. And that's the Bellingham Harvest Celebration, 5:30 p.m. Sunday, this weekend at the Bellingham Community Center.
Dove Ag Service of Madison brings you this farm safety tip. Always have a helper nearby when entering grain bins, breeding pens, or other high-risk areas. Discuss safety concerns with children as you explain safe handling and operating procedures. Practice what you preach, and they will practice it too. This farm safety tip comes from Dove Egg Service in Madison.
Vengeance is coming. Terror at every turn. In a new breed of haunted house. American Monsters, Onion Head's Revenge, only at Mall of America.
Fear is here.
See mallofamerica.com/American Monsters if you dare. Not for anyone with health concerns or under 10, but you.
You're mine.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here in the studio this morning. We're going to turn our attention to La Caprara Valley football with head coach Tony Smith. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for letting John go first today.
Yeah, well, they had practice. They have to get in, so why not?
That's right. And you got people going to state. You got to practice, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know you were down there Thursday helping out the cross-country meet. It's quite an undertaking, isn't it?
It is. I remember the first year that I was the activities director. That was the first cross-country meet I had ever seen or been a part of.
Oh.
And we were running the section. But John is such a great resource for that. And he's got some people that have helped him along the way. But I was able to be there on Thursday and help with the parking and a few of the other things to get things set or to get them the day off and running. So, yeah, it was. It's always interesting to see the number of people that flock into for a cross country meet. It's crazy.
I know. I've kind of been in on the beginning of that, and it's just amazing the attendance of cross country. Not just parents and grandparents, regular fans come out now to watch cross-country meet. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. You saw a number of classmates from the variety of different schools. Obviously, the closer the school is, the better chance they have of coming. Yeah. But, very well attended. A lot of people, and weather wasn't the greatest on Thursday, but still, it was a very good crowd.
All right. And speaking of weather, the weather wasn't the greatest the other night in Canby either. Man, that was foggy when I got there.
No, we crossed over 212, and it just started to get darker and cloudier and foggier and rainier as we went along. And got onto the field to warm up, and the wind almost picked up a little bit more too out of the west. And I suppose it's that, what is that, the Buffalo Ridge there, that they get to deal with. So yeah, the first half, it was tough to see much of anything.
That's right. Well, of course, it's Section 5A playoffs, you got the Cambie Lancers at Cambie, the last game ever played on Armitage Field. And they're going to be building a new football field this summer. So
yes, they're very excited about that. Talking with the coaches and the AD, they're very excited about that possibility. I don't know if they have a plan for next year and what they want to do yet, as far as their home games, but they're excited to start something new.
And I'm glad to get a new press box there too in Cambie.
Yeah, the press box there is
a little windy.
Is a little bit to be desired, but you know
getting up to the press box, that's the issue for me.
That's probably the most treacherous. Yeah. There's not a lot of hand railings there.
No. All right. Well, we got a game to talk about. The second time you've played Cambie this year.
Yeah, we went down there a couple of weeks ago and played a very physical Cambie team, and we expected that Tuesday night was going to be the same thing. We ended up losing on a last second or last minute touchdown, and they put a long drive together and were able to score. Well, we thought it was kind of be the same type of football game. Kids knew what to expect. We practiced Wednesday and Thursday last week and Monday this week. Talked about, we know what to expect. We know what we're going to see on film. We had a number of different films on them. Nothing had really changed. And so we thought, well, we'll go down there. It's going to be a tightly contested ball game. Going to have to play some field position. And it's going to come down to turnovers. And it did come into turnovers.
Yep.
We won the opening toss and decided to kick off, and we turned them over on downs on their first series, and we got the ball and we went three and out. We had a fake punt put into play and got a nice gain, I believe a 30-yard gain out of it, and put us in nice field position. And unfortunately, the following play, one of the linebackers had blitzed through and had tackled Landon Weber and forced a fumble, and so that kind of stalled that drive down, and there was a punt and there was some back and forth a little bit there in the first quarter, and then we ran a play, and offensively we ran a play and got the ball out to Caden Kessler as a wide receiver, and they had a nice hit on him. And the ball was loose, and they were able to pick it up, scoop, and score, and they were up 6-0. Then there was a block punt that led to us being able to hold them on a 4th-and-2. That unfortunately, then the second play from scrimmage there, they were able to get a safety on us, so it was 8-0. And then with about, 2 minutes to go in the half, they scored another touchdown to make it 20-0. And we got to halftime and tried to rally the troops a little bit, talked about some things that we needed to do better and execute on and what are some things we can look at. And said, really, we kind of, at least for us, we felt like, with the fumble and the block punt and the safety, we had really given them a couple of scores there. And we thought, if we can put a drive here together and to start the second half get some momentum going, like there's a possibility here. There's still some time left. We know what they are. We know who they are. And we thought maybe we'd get some things going. Well, unfortunately, we did have a nice kick return by Tygan Allpress that got us some great field position.
He had a couple of them, I think.
He did, and he really started to understand the game of football. He's a hard-nosed kid, loves the contact. I remember one of the first days of practice, he looks at me, and I said, "So how's it going?" He said, "It's going good, but when can we start hitting people?" those are comments that you like to hear if you're a football coach. And unfortunately, we weren't able to score. I believe we had an incomplete pass on a 4th-and-5, And I think that kind of took the wind out of our sails. They did score on a third in the third quarter. It was a bad snap, and the quarterback kicked it once, maybe picked it up, pulled the pin, and launched a ball down the field, and just so happened a guy from Canby run underneath it and scored a touchdown. And we could not get any momentum going on Tuesday. You know, they came with a lot of energy. We weren't able to match that energy in them, and that's unfortunate because usually we play very competitive all the way down to the last minute with them. And you know, it's one of those things. It's high school sports. You try to get them ready, and then they get out on the field, and then it's all about the execution piece. And offensively, Davis Patzer was 5 of 15 for 19 yards. Gavin Meyer was 1 for 1 for 7 yards, and Caden Molden was 0 for 1 with a pick, and his was on a fake punt, another fake punt that we had. And TJ Mitchell was open in the flat, only because it was wet out, had the gloves he had on his hands. The ball slipped out and kind of went up in the air, and they were able to run underneath it and catch it. But receiving, Caden Molden was 1. He had 1 reception for 13 yards. Nolan Smith had 1 reception for 7 yards. TJ Mitchell had 2 catches for 5, and Caden Kessler had 2 catches for 3 yards. Rushing, Caden Molden, like we said, with that fake punt, he had 2 rushes for 30 yards. Dylan Keimig had 3 rushes for 27. Davis Patzer had 4 for 8. TJ Mitchell, 5 for 7. And Landon Weber, 4 carries for negative 2 yards. So we just could not get any momentum going offensively. It felt like if they were getting pressure, whether they were with 3 guys, 4 guys, 5 guys, and in our routes, it felt like they were right where we wanted to be. And so, you know, we just could not get any momentum and tried a number of different things. And that's one of the things with this group. I think we've been able to kind of feel out the defense and find some things that have been working and exploit that as the game goes on. Tuesday night, we weren't able to do that. Defensively, Tygan Allpress had 8 tackles. He had a sack, a tackle for loss. TJ Mitchell had 7 tackles, 3 assists. Caden Molden had 5 tackles and 3 assists. Caden Mortensen had 5 tackles and 6 assists and two sacks. Davis Patzer had 2 tackles. Caden Kessler had 2. Peyton Rodmacher had 2 tackles with 5 assists. Gabe Lowry, who was back from injury, had 2 tackles. Dylan Keimig had a tackle. Blake Wells had a tackle. Drew Borstedt had a tackle. Landon Weber and Cale Benson each had an assist for a tackle. Kick returns, Tygan Allpress had 3 returns for 27 yards. Gavin Meyer had 1 punt for 25 yards. And Caden Molden had 5 punts for 35 yards. And any time that we were going west, that the ball really was knocked down by that wind.
Yep, for sure.
All right, 32-0 there, the final score. And Canby moves on. And actually, Canby will be in Minnesota this afternoon for a 3 o'clock kickoff in that semifinal game. And the other semifinal game, Dawson Boyd is at Olivia to take on Bold. And you'll hear that football game right here on Q92 this afternoon. Well, Tony, that wraps up your season. Any final thoughts on the season there, or we can wrap it up next Saturday, maybe?
I would be more than willing to come in next Saturday and put a ribbon on it.
Yeah, talk about those seniors. A lot of really good seniors this year that you had.
Yeah.
So just briefly, talk about the season here as we wrap it up here.
Well, you know, it was really kind of a story for us of we were in a lot of ball games, and coming into the year, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to be in ball games, give ourselves a chance to win. And for the most part, with the exception of a couple of ball games, we really competed this year. A great group of guys to work with, 9th grade all the way up. Obviously, the younger kids, as I say, freshmen are freshmen, and they don't know what they don't know as they go along through this freshman year. But you know, it like I said, it was a fun group to be around. It just the turnovers were a killer for us this year. Yeah. Ball security and protecting the ball, as PJ Fleck likes to call now the football, the program, which I mean it's an important thing. Yeah. All in all, you know, ended up the year 3-6 and had a chance for some other victories and.
And a couple of games went right down to the wire there. You know, the season opener in Slayton, a 2-point conversion failed at the end of the game there. And Camby, the regular season game there with Camby.
And we talk about the life lessons, and things aren't always going to go your way, and you're going to prepare and get yourself ready to go and give yourself the best possible option. And I felt like we did that day in and day out.
Okay. You have a banquet set up, a date yet, or not?
We're working on a banquet. I'd like to get it done here before Thanksgiving, get everything accomplished. Now I got to go back and pull out plays, clips for our highlight video that I enjoy doing.
Nice.
So we'll try to get a day and a time and a location for that.
So you'll be in next Saturday, and we'll wrap up that season and talk about each of the kids then.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Smith, head football coach at Lacaparral Valley. Take a break. Coach Hacker's in. We'll talk state tennis right after this.
Well, it's hunting season. Time to do some hunting for fashions for the holidays. We've got Monica from Monica's in Dawson on the line right now, and I think you have a good place to hunt over there, Monica.
I sure do, Maynard-Meyer. Come and shop all the new fall fashions for yourself or for a gift. Daily sign up for free wardrobe consultations. All the latest fun fashions await you with personal service from Monica. Sign up for door prizes and gift certificates, too. This event is October 25th at 10 a.m. to October 28th till 5 p.m.
So get out and do some hunting over at Monica's Apparel and Accessories in Dawson.
Like me on Facebook, and thanks for shopping small.
Ryan Smith Seeds brings you this farm safety tip. Always be alert to what's happening in your surroundings. Remember that your safety is your responsibility. Understand the particular hazards related to your job or workplace, and keep clear of potentially hazardous areas or situations. This farm safety tip brought to you by Ryan Smith Seeds, Madison.
Madison's Norse Fest celebration is coming up in November. The Lutefisk and Meatball Supper will be Friday, November 10th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the VFW. Lutefisk meal, $15. Meatballs, $12. Lutefisk and meatballs, $16. All meals come with mashed potatoes, veggie, lefse, roll, beverage, and a cookie. We'll see you at Norse Fest. Tickets should be reserved by calling the Chamber Office, 320-598-7301, or stop into the Q92 Radio Building, downtown Madison. You can pay for your tickets that night, but we need a count as to how many are coming. Tickets are available through Tuesday, November 7th.
At Heartland Motor Company, we take you beyond the Chevrolet brand to a hometown sales experience. With industry-wide knowledge, stress-free sales, and our lifetime warranty, the Heartland Advantage, we make it our goal to take care of you on day one or for years to come. But we don't stop there. We take care of our hometown by generously donating to many local groups and organizations. When you choose us, it's not just a Chevy. You get a Heartland Chevrolet. Learn more at heartlandmotor.com.
Find new roads at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Mineota Building Materials, located along Highway 68 in Mineota, has all your complete building needs. Competitive prices, free estimates, materials on hand. They feature high-quality, low-cost buildings, agricultural buildings, commercial buildings, and residential buildings. So stop in and visit with Kevin Jerzak, manager. They have what you are looking for. That's Mineota Building Material, 115 West 1st Street, Mineota. Give them a call at 507-872-6147. That's area code 507-872-6147. Mineota Building Materials, Mineota.
This farm safety reminder brought to you by Doug Service and Marine in Camby. They know that farming involves all kinds of risks, from farm equipment to farm chemicals to livestock. Farmers face many hazards unknown to people in other occupations, and that's why the people at Doug Service and Marine in Camby hope you'll take time to make your farm operation as safe as it can be. That's Doug Service and Marine, located in Camby. If you need service work done on your skid steer loaders, bring them on into Doug's. They can handle all your small engine needs, too. That's Doug Service and Marine, located in Camby.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention now to Lacapal Valley Dawson Boyd girls tennis with Coach Dr. Brant Hacker, and Coach Hacker's in the studio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, happy to be here. It's wrapping things up here. So
you got a T-shirt on. You know, it's a little cold out this morning.
Right. Yeah. Believe me, I got the sweatshirt in the other room, Al.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'll be back on before I leave.
Okay. Well, hey, a big week for a couple of girls on your team.
Yeah, you know, Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan qualified for state tennis. About a week ago now, the week prior. So they did that by coming in true second at our section play. Benson took first place. But they did a nice job to get through that. They ended up beating the one, the three, and the fourth seeds to get their spot in state. So they did a really nice job down at sections. But that put us into state this last Thursday morning. And state's kind of a, if you've ever been at state tennis, it's always a little different. You've got 16 entries into the doubles bracket and 16 into the singles bracket. So there's 8 matches of each going on. They seed, so out of those 16 teams in the doubles, they seed the top 5 and everybody else is just drawn.
Oh, wow.
So you get to play who you get to play. And we weren't one of the top 5 seeds in state. So we drew the 4th seed though. So that was our matchup. So we ended up playing against Staples. It's a 1 singles player to 2 singles player who played those positions most of the season, just like Kayla and Hannah did.
Yep.
That's a 12th grader and a 9th grader. It's just amazing to see some of the young players down there. We ended up, I think we played tight a little bit. You know, it was an early morning 8 a.m. match. I think they played hard. Effort level is always 100% with Kayla and Hannah. There's never any doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just too many mistakes on our end as far as giving up some net balls or not finishing points at the net when we had an opportunity. The serve was a little bit of a struggle off and on. And, playing at that level, boy, you can't afford to miss anything, right? You don't want to give any free points to your other team. You double fault, they don't even have to hit the ball, they get a point, right? Okay. So you don't want to do that at state. That's definitely, that's not going to work
out.
This
is a team from Staples Motley?
Yeah, Staples Motley, yep. And Staples has been a strong tennis program for a long time. So, credit to them. It's always nice. I mean, tennis is a pretty friendly sport, and the coaches get to stand on the sideline. And a lot of times we chat with each other while the match is going on even. They've done a nice job up there.
Okay.
But we ended up losing 6-2, 6-1 in that match, which put us into the consolation bracket right away. And we played that match then at 2 p.m. that same Thursday afternoon. And we ended up against Pine River, and they were the 5th seed in state.
Oh, oh.
So nothing easy, but Kayla and Hannah were really ready. They had a good attitude the whole day. They're very positive. I think all the pressure was getting there, just have fun, play your best and let it hang out, once you get on the court. And, the second match, they were really able to do that. We ended up losing that match, but they were ahead in both of the sets. So in the first set, they were up 5-4 on our serve, but struggled on serve and we couldn't close it out. And, credit to Pine River, they took advantage of it and got the momentum rolling their way. And they won that set 7-5. The second set, we were actually up 5-3. But ended up tied up at 6-6 and played a tiebreaker and lost that 7-5. But Kayla and Hannah definitely, I think, in that last match can feel very good about how they played. Just really quality tennis, fun to watch. Definitely their best match of the year. And win or lose, that's how you want to, that's how you want to end things, honestly.
Right. Yep.
So with our loss to Pine River on, Thursday afternoon, that ended our season. And we were out of the tournament at that point.
Okay.
So, the gals were... My plan was to come, if we lost both, we're out of the tourney, we'll come back Thursday night. Well, they really wanted to stick around till Friday, watch the semis and watch the finals, which, I'm glad we did. It's a level of tennis that's really incredible. We watched, for instance, and you don't see this too often, but there's a gal, her last name is Ines. She's from Blake.
Yep.
She went through the whole tournament, didn't lose a game.
A game.
Everything was 6-0, 6-0, all 4 matches and her championship. She's a D1 recruit out and has already signed with Seton Hall out in the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
So it's really fun. You don't see that in your area usually. Yep. So being able to watch that and say, hey, that's a senior. She's my age or maybe a year older, and she's playing like this or can do this. I think it's really important.
Another level.
Yeah, totally different. Maybe about four levels up instead of one. But yeah, but it was fun to see that. And then, you know, as we've talked before, those private schools really kind of.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Kind of take over at state and run the show most of the time. But Ryan Maddock is the coach at Osakis, and his daughter Leah, who's just a 10th grader, made it into the championship against this gal. Well,
nice.
So we were all cheering for the public school girl, of course, right?
Yeah.
For Leah, she got bageled, though, 0-0, right, in that championship match, just like everybody else that Ina's played all the way to that point.
Yeah.
We went through, we can get online and look at her scores, and over the course of her season, she played like 26, 27 matches.
Oh, wow.
She lost 14 games.
Oh,
and the whole and half of those matches are against AA schools. So it's just fun to see that, you know, at that level.
That's right.
And she walks off the court and she's about the size of, I don't know, like Hannah Oy and about an inch shorter. So it's like, you know, she's not like, you know, very athletic, right? Just like Hannah or Kayla, moves very quick, moves very well. It doesn't look like, you know, strong wind out here in Madison blow her over, but she can hit the snot off the ball. So it's very fun to see that. In doubles, just to kind of wrap that championship up, kind of like it was the Vang sisters, and the Vang sisters were from the Blake School, and that was a 12th grader and a 9th grader, versus a team from Minnehaha that actually played last year and won the championship. And that was as an 11th grader and an 8th grader last year when they won. So they came back as a 12th and a 9th this year. Ended up losing to the Blake School, to the Vang sisters, who, you know, weren't there last year, at least competing at the end for anything. So they did very well. And just a heads up, that first team we lost to, that Staples team, ended up taking fourth in state.
Well, they did. Okay.
Yeah. So they did a very good job. They competed hard and a good competition, though. So
good experience, though, for Kayla Jan and Hannah Oy.
Yes, absolutely.
Being on the state. And what grades are they in?
So they're both juniors this
juniors.
Year. So they'll be coming back for another year. And I'm excited. I hope they're excited for that, right? We'll get them on. And I got to give a credit to the rest of the team. We had seven other gals who came with supporting Hannah and Kayla. And the school is very great about letting us do that. And I think it's really important just as a team to be there for each other and help each other out. And I know Kayla and Hannah appreciate that.
Where's state held at again? Never been there.
Yeah, so state for Class A is at a facility called Reed Sweat, Inner City Tennis. It's on the east side, the west side of Minneapolis.
Oh.
So you kind of get past the Edina and that inner city ring of suburbs, and you're right into that area. And then Class AA is over at, it's called Baseline Center at the U.
Oh, it's a different place.
Yep, okay. Totally different facility. So,
how many courts does the Reed Sweat Center have?
Reed Sweat, they have 9.
It's all indoors?
Yep, all indoors. Well, sorry, they have 11. We play on 8. Yeah, and it's all indoors, thank goodness, because it wasn't very nice yesterday, the last couple days. So.
Do they have enough seating for everybody? Or?
You know, you're just talking. Yeah, they do. But tennis is not a big spectator sport.
Not.
No. So you get a lot of people on day one because you've got a lot of different schools there. And as they get eliminated, you know, about half the schools leave. And then day two, when we were there, we could probably count 70 or 100 people watching the championship match.
Okay.
And of that, you know, we were 9 of them pretty much, right?
Yep.
The 9 gals that were there and myself. Seating does not get to be a problem.
Okay.
It's just not a huge spectator draw at this level, but I think it's great to watch.
Great.
Yeah,
good tennis, quality tennis down there.
Oh my goodness,
I think Minnesota does really well with tennis.
Yeah, they do.
Minnesota Ice League.
Yep. Sorry, Paul, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Yeah,
they do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the season some other Saturday or next Saturday or so.
Yeah. If you don't mind. Yep. We'll wrap up after our banquet, if that's okay.
Yep.
I think we're shooting for November 15th on that.
Oh, okay.
I got to get the okays from the ADs on that. That's what we came up with on the bus last night with the players. Like, nobody has a conflict. That's the only. So we'll see if that works. But looking forward to that. And the gals had a good season, so we'll wrap that up then.
All right. I appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And, all right. Enjoy the day then.
Absolutely. You too.
Put your sweatshirt back on now before you go outside. Dr. Coach Brad Hacker with tennis. And we'll take a break and wrap up the coaches show right after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. They're taking venison during deer hunting. And this week, all fresh-cut pork, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Saturday afternoon, Q92 Sports has Section 5A football playoffs. The Dawson Boyd Blackjacks travel to Olivia to take on the Bold Warriors. 3 o'clock kickoff. That's the Blackjacks and the Warriors, Section 5A football playoffs, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Well, that's going to wrap up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show this morning. We do not have a volleyball report from head coach Brooklyn Gould this Saturday, but we'll wrap up that Lockbarrow Valley volleyball season next week. Thanks for listening, everybody, and tune in next Saturday, same time, for the Coaches Show here on Q92.
It's 9:56. Great music for Bellingham, Marietta, and Nassau on Q92, KLQP-FM.
It's so nice to be with you. I love all the things you say and do. And it's so nice to hear you say you're gonna please me in every way. Honey, I got the notion you're causing commotion in my soul. Baby, I know it's gonna last a lifetime. You better believe it, girl, and that I call your name. Darkness fills my room.